This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Someone asked me a question last night, and I'd like to see your response to it. They said, Israel, the nation of Israel, the government, and the Zionist sort of elements of it have an extremely effective in institutional capture. Right, infiltrating institutions at a high level, let's say targeted pressure, lobbying, etc. Why don't we do the same? Okay, and my response was, and I'd like to hear your thoughts about it, people resent that. You know, if you look actually now at the tide that is turning, like you said, with social media, how we've been able to push back and expose these lies, illuminate and put show a spotlight on these connections and these moneyed interests and these biases, people actually resent it if you're not actually on the side of truth, if you're just trying to play the game and manipulate and work behind closed doors and capture institutions to use them for your sort of thing. What we're seeing is a much more popular mass uprising of distrusting the mainstream media, trying to find out the truth. Would you agree with that analysis, first of all?
I think it's true that people, there's lots of books written on the Israel lobby. I think John Mearsheimer has a famous book called The Israel Lobby. John Mearsheimer was seen as like one of the top figures of international relations. And they speak about how like the Zionist lobby, influences senators and, members of the House of Representatives, et cetera, in America and other places in the world, but specifically America. That's a strategy that has, to some extent, been working. According to international relations scholars, there's a difference of opinion as to, is this effect direct or is it not? Is it more exaggerated in our understanding or not? But what's clear to me, as I think you alluded to, is that this, for us to establish a position or a placement like this with political representatives in America, it would take more than a generation.
Right.
Because you've got to look at the apparatus of, for example, politics in the United States of America, in the United Kingdom, what kind of political system structures we've got in place, and what it takes to actually influence things to a legislative level. So if, for example, we look at the House of Representatives and the Senate, there's two, the way in the United States and it works, the legislature is divided into two houses.
Yeah.
Now, really, the senators have more pound for pound weight than House of Representatives. Now, to not just influence the senators, but to influence the executive branch of government, which, frankly, senators can have that influence as well, of course. And some of the things that the executive branch of government, the president, will require approval from the Senate and from the House of Representatives, it will require what kind of money we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're talking about it's going to cross the trillion mark, really, just to get our voice heard. And we're competing with a lobby that's well established.
Right.
It's an inefficient use of resources. The same thing applies with the United Kingdom. We've got 636 chairs or seats in House of Commons, and then you have what was then called the House of Lords. You've got, once again, two chambers. House of Lords doesn't really have a power. Most MPs don't have power to affect law, especially not law relating to foreign policy decision making. To get to a position where you're going to affect that, in here in Canada where we are, there's 136 seats or 126 seats. I just had a conversation with an MPP. They call them MPPs. I'm not sure if you were there or not. MPP, and I was having a conversation with her. They all got party whips. They've all got, it's very difficult to influence the situation. You need a lot of money.
Right.
And you need a lot of time, and you need to have a lot of connections. And it's not easy to just establish yourself, come and say, I want to have a conversation with such and such a person, and these things are well established and have been for a very long time. As you mentioned, therefore, the strongest and quickest and best, where our strengths are as Muslim peoples, are numbers.
Yeah.
Now, Muslims are 2 billion people on the face of the earth. This is like, according to Pew, 25%. Clearly, that's what the strength is. So a mass kind of movement, whether we use the internet or any other medium, protest, action, whatever it may be, that's clearly getting the attention of the politicians. It's changing the tone of journalists. It's changing the tone of UN representatives, and it's changing the tone of everyone. us raising awareness, the public opinion war, the information war, that is clearly where our strength lies. If we think we're going to influence things by trying a strategy effectively, that's not ours. And number two, which is not even effective, or there's no proof of concept for it.
Right.
I don't think that's the way to go at this stage.